Welcome to the discussion, The Modernized Warehouse, sponsored by Zebra Technologies on Federal News Network. Here's today's moderator, Tom Temin.
It's almost like the Walmart or Amazon for the military. The Defense Logistics Agency supplies thousands of items, both hardware and consumables, to military components worldwide. It has among the most extensive warehousing and distribution facilities you'll find anywhere. For how they keep it all up to date, I spoke with the Deputy Director of DLA's Disposition Services, Colonel Woodward Caldwell, and the DLA's Distribution Deputy Commander, Perry Knight.
We operate a network of about 24 distribution centers strategically located around the globe. 17 of those are government operated and 7 are contractor operated facilities. I think the key point here is we have roughly right about 2.3 million items worth about $138 billion of inventory spread across 445 warehouses and roughly right about 37 million gross square feet.
You said 445 warehouses.
Correct.
Wow. And can you give us a sense of the square footage that they add up to?
Yes, I'll give you an idea of our largest, really our flagship located at New Cumberland, Pennsylvania, almost 2 million gross square feet. If I could put it in perspective of all 445, that equals to roughly right about 700 football fields.
Yeah, so a lot of stuff and maybe a sense of the range of items. My understanding is it's anything except weapons and ordnance specifically.
That's correct. In fact, we support all classes of supply. You know, whether they're personal items to repair part components, to include major end items, such, for example, tanks, artillery, and other wheeled vehicles.
Right. All right. So then there's a great range of size, weight, and value, you might say, also.
Yes, that's correct. I think at the very low end in terms of value is industrial hardware. Most of our inventory is industrial hardware supporting all of the armed forces. Again, at the very large range, M1 A3 tanks.
Wow. And Colonel Caldwell, the disposition services in your title, what does that mean? How does that function in the context of all of this millions and millions of things and square feet?
Well, sir, DLA Disposition has over 50 full-service sites. And our warehouses are various sizes and layouts, and that's really just based upon where we are located and the installations that the hosts give us. But each of our facilities has bulk indoor storage and then outdoor storage, which then again kind of varies by size. So in some places we have very large warehouses. In other places we're constricted with indoor space and we have to use a bit more outdoor storage.
And I guess it's pretty hard to put a tank on a shelf to be lowered by a forklift.
Yes, sir. We get a lot of vehicles and a lot of bulk items from the services. We'll get everything from just simple pencils all the way to Humvees and everything in between. Our director, Mr. Mike Cannon, has a monthly call with Disposition Services, and he highlights some of the unusual things that we've received in the past month. We've received like a U.S. flag with 46 stars, a lifeguard station. We even had a Western Union telegraph machine that was circa 1923. So really, as the reverse logistics experts, we receive all manners of different property in all different conditions.
Yeah, so you've got to be ready for anything, I guess, coming in or going out. And just tell us about the way you do all of this, because modern logistics and inventory systems are interrelated. It's really one big system in some sense, I'm guessing. Tell us about how you track it all and know what's where and keep track of orders for reordering.
And Tom, I'll address that up front, too. You know, in this audit-driven era that we're in, we've really made a number of significant enhancements to our inventory and tracking programs. And in particular, you know, along with Disposition, we are now implementing a new warehouse management system as well as automatic identification technology, you know, featuring barcode and RFID scanning. We are about halfway, halfway fielding that implementation, that new warehouse management system that keeps track of the inventory. And I'll turn it over to Woodge, which who have just completed within the last couple of months.
Sure.
Yeah, and yes, sir. Like Perry said, we both use the same warehouse management system, and really what that does is it's really strengthened our internal controls and improved our financial practices as we talk about the DoD getting to auditability and increasing our audit readiness. But it has also helped us more accurately track and efficiently move inventory throughout our process.
And you mentioned, too, there is both RFID, radio frequency ID tags, and those come in a million sizes and shapes, and then barcoding, and even that's, there's a couple of branches of that. How does that all mesh together? Because they're very different technologies, yet they both count things.
Well, I would say that, you know, for you, distribution really looks more for the RFID. We are really actively exploring ways to enhance the barcode technology to make them more user-friendly.
And barcodes have, that's something that you can generate locally and be self-sufficient in, correct?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. That's absolutely correct. So within our warehouse management system, it allows us to identify the material and then put the RFID tag on that material so that it's scannable by the system. And of course, that obviously helps us with an inventory. You know, with 2.3 million items, you know, knowing the very specific location to increase efficiency for the worker, and not only that, but also the warfighter, being able to pick it quickly, pack it, ship it, and get it out within the time frames that they've asked for.
Right. So it sounds as if it would support even some more robotic automation of the picking and packing and that end of things.
That's correct. And in terms of robotics, at our distribution center here in Susquehanna, we are fielding a brand new system of automated material handling system that also includes a robotic arm. In addition to the system itself that moves material efficiently through the warehouse, the robotic arm allows us to be able to pick items as they're receipted, put them in the proper tote, if you will, and deliver internally to the warehouse, where at some point it can be picked, packed, and shipped. Also, we are including an auto store that includes robotics that are able to identify the material, grab the material, and in a goods demand strategy, deliver that to a worker on the floor. He's able to visualize the material that he's supposed to have, make sure that he has the right quantity, and then send it off to be packed and shipped.
And in designing this system and installing it, are you using basically a commercial type of product? Because I think this whole issue has been pretty well advanced on the commercial side.
It has. We're using a company called Dematic, really kind of coin of the realm. You see their product, their AMHS, and other technology and organizations like Walmart, for example. So we consulted with them. It really is a state-of-the-art system designed in a modular sort of way that brings, really the focus for us, brings the goods to person to eliminate a lot of the inaccuracies and visibility that we had in the past.
And just out of curiosity, are barcodes reused, or that is, can you make more barcodes for the same item, or after that thing runs out, does the next batch get a new barcode? I mean, just how do you keep it simplified at some level?
Right, and the simplification is really based upon the national stock number. So based upon a national stock number, let's assume that it's a Bolt, that stock number remains the same, and the barcode is married up with that particular national stock number. So it keeps it very simple, easy to recognize, easy to store, easy to do the inventory.
Yes, because there is something called the organic industrial base that different branches of the armed services operate. And so if they are fixing a tank, say, or they're rebuilding, you know, a howitzer that has come back, and there are bolts and other small parts, are they compatible in terms of numbers and identification with what DLA may have on hand for MRO types of items?
I know that DLA is working hand in hand with the services to achieve that, because Tom, you're spot on, right? You cannot have an inconsistency and where the quality is different. So DLA is working with the services, specifically organic manufacturing, whether that's cataloging, provisioning, just to ensure that we have the not only the right part, but it meets all of the quality standards.
The national ID number, that's something commercial, or is that national within the government?
It's within the government. So the national stock number, you know, provides what the material is, where it's manufactured, a number of other different items to ensure that you have the right item to fit the right piece. And again, that's obviously very critical given that DLA manages the inventory for roughly right about 2,500 weapon systems.
And you also have items that are not weapons related. You mentioned pencils and supplies, and I guess there's engineering and architectural things, construction supplies. Those might also be found on other federal contracts such as GSA, you know, GWACS, or in the multiple award schedule system. Is there compatibility between the numbering and identifying and inventorying among those types of items between, say, military and government-wide acquisition contracts that might serve the commercial side or the civil side?
Yeah, and Tom, I can't answer that. I believe there's probably some relationship. I mean, certainly in the characteristics of the material, but whether or not there's a one-for-one correspondence between a national stock number and an item that is procured from a vendor or that a GSA, for example, has, that part I can't answer. But certainly from a characteristic standpoint, there is compatibility.
Sure, there's that opportunity there, I suppose. And getting back to the DLA's own system and your own numbering and so on in barcodes, what did that mean? What does this mean in the future for the type of gear that the workers in the facilities will be having?
I think there's great opportunity here. And, you know, as we start to take a look at efficiencies, automation is going to allow us to store those in a way that makes it easier for a worker to be able to pick, pack, and ship. And let me give you an instance. For our scan guns that we have today, it will tell a worker whether they're at the right bin face where that material is stored, either to stow it, to put it away, or to actually pick it for movement or shipment to a DOD or whole of government entity. It really does increase the speed. We've employed voice technology for a little over 2 years now. Certainly it has helped improve the accuracy. They are at the right place to pick the right item. There's even a photograph or picture, if you will, of that particular item to ensure that they have it. The other thing that I think it does is give us greater visibility of that material which is in the warehouse. You mentioned inventory before. Certainly knowing the quantity and the locations are absolutely imperative to maximize efficiency.
Perry Knight, Distribution Deputy Commander, and Colonel Woodward Caldwell, Deputy Chief of the Inventory Management Division, both at the Defense Logistics Agency. We'll return with more of the interview after this short break. I'm Tom Temin.
For far too long, government warehouse and distribution centers have been working with aging infrastructure and obsolete technology. This creates cybersecurity risks and inefficient operations. Civilian and defense agencies trust Zebra Technologies to help them modernize with the broadest range of DoD-approved, STIG-validated rugged devices available with multiple cybersecurity certifications. Your operations can safely document administrative tasks with fewer paper processes, see inventory orders and assets in real time, and secure your workflows. Visit Zebra.com to learn how.
Welcome back to our interview with Perry Knight, Distribution Deputy Commander, and Colonel Woodward Caldwell, Deputy Chief of the Inventory Management Division, both at the Defense Logistics Agency. Our topic is warehouse and distribution modernization. And let's talk about the RFID side of this. How does that tie in to the barcode side, or how do they relate, and what are you doing with the RFID?
Right. And I think, as you know, it's not a new capability, right? We've had this in the department for well over 20 years. But as we start to take a look at RFID at the pallet or box level to track material moving at any point, you know, we invested in this technology, you know, many years ago, and over time we got away from that. But I think we're at a point now where, one, the RFID tags are less expensive than they have been in the past. We certainly are looking at opportunities for the large items that are stored outdoors, tanks, trucks, other vehicles, as a means, one, to identify them, and then to be able to do a automated inventory using those RFID tags. So if you can imagine this as an example, at our location at Red River, Texas, we're going to run a pilot September, October timeframe. using drones and RFID tags to be able to conduct an automated inventory.
That sounds fascinating. The drone will fly through and pick up the signals from the RFID tags?
That's correct. So we'll have a greater, I believe, ability to use those to capture all the pertinent data. We'll know where they are located at. And certainly on any given day or whatever frequency we determine, be able to determine that we have the right quantity that is on record in our automated record systems, and better understand if they needed to be moved for some reason. In other words, that tank or that wheeled vehicle may be taken over to maintenance at an industrial site. Once it's moved back, we know where it's at and can accurately portray the inventory by lot or by any other location.
The theme here seems to be that by aiming the same signal at either a barcode or an RFID, you have much more information about the same item than previously.
That's correct. We're also looking at QR codes. There's a lot of opportunity with QR codes in addition to RFID to be able to gather the same sort of information. So being able to do it remotely certainly saves manpower and overall time, and I believe that we'll get better accuracy and increased visibility.
It used to be that if you had a retail operation or a wholesale operation, there would be this big stand down for maybe days on end in some cases, where everybody went around with pencils and clipboards to do inventory, as they would put it. That sounds like a thing of the past.
It is absolutely a thing in the past. And so for many years, as we started to transition from our previous warehouse managed system to a SAP-based warehouse management system, in each of those, we were able to do dynamic inventory. And the point there with the dynamic inventory, I can still issue and receive while simultaneously I'm conducting an inventory.
And what is the necessary connection, and how do you handle the interplay of the movement of goods and the recording of goods and the rise and fall of inventories with the accounting and financial systems that are pervasive throughout DOD, and sometimes they've got trouble reconciling?
And it's a good question. You know, through our technology with the warehouse management system, every transaction that is taken, whether it's a issue or receipt, or we've actually brought something to record, is recorded in DLA's EBS system. So that way it gives you an idea of what has come in and what has gone out, and the overall status of that inventory through that ERP, the EBS system that we currently have.
And Colonel Caldwell, what kinds of training and HR changes and requirements does all of this make for the workforce?
What we've done is, as we've integrated WMS, we've had deployment teams that have come to really train our folks at each of our sites to increase their comfortability with WMS and to give them that understanding as we're transitioning into implementing WMS, those functions. Of course, it starts slow, but you continually gain confidence. You continually work through your processes as you increase your operational efficiency.
I imagine it's probably more fun to work with this technology than it might have been, you know, years earlier, too. More satisfying career-wise.
Well, sir, you know, folks get it, naturally fall into a rut, right? And they get comfortable with how we do things. As we upgraded and we incorporated WMS, right, it's the whole fear of the unknown. And people have embraced it, and our workforce has really embraced it and risen to the challenge of incorporating WMS within our processes. So it's a good news story. They understand the why, and they see the benefit of incorporating WMS into as our system.
And looking outward at this, of course, many times the military units that are calling on DLA have urgent needs as contingencies arise and so on. Has all of this modernization and automation increased the ability to get orders out faster?
Absolutely. Not only with our warehouse management system, but also the modernization efforts, additional automated handling systems, voice pick, use of wireless technology to include tablets, et cetera, allows us to gain speed. At our center here, our Eastern Distribution Center in New Cumberland, it has increased our capability to be able to get material out the door and meet the warfighters' timelines.
And I guess a final question, are you also able to do better predictive analytics with having a richer data system behind the movement of goods?
Absolutely. You know, DLA is data focused, so that we have increased visibility. In the end, I think the department, as they start to move to Advana or some other system, we will have that kind of visibility, you know, across the network to see where the material is at, better understand the timelines, and certainly become a little bit more predictive in what the warfighter's requirements are.
Actually, one other final question. This really will be final. We've been focusing on counting and outbound, but there's an inbound management component to all of this. Fair to say?
Yes, sir. You know, we as disposition services are responsible for the disposal of all DOD-generated property that's authorized for turn-in. So while Perry and distribution are focused on getting things out, we are focused on bringing things in and our ability to quickly process that property to start within our process, the RTD process, reutilization, transfer, and donation, which provides an opportunity for the DOD, states, and other federal agencies to actually request that property so that we can reuse it and save taxpayer funds.
So it's really a life cycle view then, from original procurement to final disposition and somebody else's tank to worry about.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Exactly right.
Perry Knight, Distribution Deputy Commander, and Colonel Woodward Caldwell, Deputy Chief of the Inventory Management Division, both at the Defense Logistics Agency. To hear this interview again or share it with colleagues, please visit federalnewsnetwork.com and search Insights. I'm Tom Temin.
Thank you for listening to the discussion, The Modernized Warehouse, sponsored by Zebra Technologies on Federal News Network.
For far too long, government warehouse and distribution centers have been working with aging infrastructure and obsolete technology. This creates cybersecurity risks and inefficient operations. Civilian and defense agencies trust Zebra Technologies to help them modernize with the broadest range of DoD-approved, STIG-validated rugged devices available with multiple cybersecurity certifications. Your operations can safely document administrative tasks with fewer paper processes, see inventory orders and assets in real time, and secure your workflows. Visit zebra.com to learn how.